All right, let us get started. So, good evening, everyone. We are now focusing on the bridge between Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, and that bridge is the paragraph or the paragraphs of Emes V'Yatziv. So let's just focus on the tefillah for a moment. The tefillah is a bracha. Emes V'Yatziv is actually a bracha. We know it ends with Gal Yisrael. It's all from Emes V'Yatziv until Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. It's a bracha. So the question that people ask is, well, why doesn't it open with a bracha? Well, the answer the commentaries explain is that it's considered a bracha hasmucha l'chaverta. It's connected to the brachos before the Shema, and therefore it just goes all the way through and ends off with Goal Yisrael. So this Emes V'Yatziv is a bracha. It should begin with a bracha and it closes with a bracha. And the question is, who wrote this? How do we know Shema, we get Shemoneh Esrei, we'll get to next time, but where did Emes V'Yatziv even come from? It's not mentioned in the Gemara anywhere. Where does it come from? I mean, sorry, that's not true. The idea, the concept of Emes V'Yatziv is mentioned in the Gemara, but where did we get the text? So it's interesting. It appears that the Emes V'Yatziv was written sometime after the destruction of Churban Bais Rishon, before or maybe around even the when Ezra went back to usher in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash to prepare everyone to come back. That's around the time that it was written. How so? Well, many of the Rishonim, the Shiboli HaLeket and others, discuss this idea. It says in the Shiboli HaLeket, it writes as follows: Matsasi L'Gaonim Zal Me Emes V'Yatziv Ad Hadavar Hazeh Igeres Achas Haisa. It was a letter from Emes V'Yatziv until Hadavar Hazeh, which is essentially the first 18 words of Emes V'Yatziv. It was in a letter. And what's the significance of this letter? It says, Lefi shekishayastu mea brachos shalchu lagola. When they established this idea that we should recite 100 brachos a day, they, meaning those living in Eretz Yisrael, sent to those living in exile, Ritzonchem lakabel mea brachos. Are you interested in accepting this custom to recite the 100 brachos a day? So shalchu lehen. So it sounds like that the Bnei Bavel sent back to Bnei Eretz Yisrael Emes V'Yatziv V'Nachon V'Kayim V'Yasher V'Neman V'Ahu V'Chaviv V'Nechmad V'Noyim V'Nora V'Ader V'Musukan V'Mekubal V'Tov V'Yafeh Hadavar Hazeh Aleinu. And so this is the makor for this idea was a letter sent back from Bnei Bavel to Bnei Eretz Yisrael that they are interested in adopting this practice of 100 brachos a day. How do those 18 or 19 words add up to 100 brachos a day? What's the remez? Where's the allusion to this? So the Shiboli HaLeket explains that there are 15 vavs from V'Yatziv V'Nachon and so on and so forth. 15, and the gematria of vav is 6. So therefore, 15 times 6 is 90. And then there's Hadavar Hazeh is 5 and 5, which gives us 10, which gives us 100. So therefore, they said, all of this Aleinu is on us. We're accepting this idea, 100 brachos a day. That is one of the versions that the Shiboli HaLeket mentions. There are others. There are other ideas. The Shiboli HaLeket mentions a couple other ideas as well. There's another idea, I forget where it's brought down, but that there were 100 people in Eretz Yisrael who were dying every day, and they sent Bnei Bavel for advice what to do, some sort of tikkun, kapara. So the Bnei Bavel sent them back the prayer of Emes V'Yatziv until Zulasecha. And if you count the words, they said there were 100 words from Emes until Zulasecha. So those first two paragraphs, V'Yatziv V'Nachon and Ala Rishonim, there are 100 words. So the idea that you say these 100 words and that'll be a kapara for the 100 who died, and hopefully it'll stave off any more deaths, any more daily deaths from whatever pandemic they were dealing with during that time. There is another version also which says that Ezra sent back to the people in Bavel, said, join us Join us in Eretz Yisrael. Come, make Aliyah. It's time to be back. We're building the second base of Mikdash. We're ready to go. It's going to be wonderful. Come, join the movement. And B'nai Bavel sent back saying that we're not interested. We don't want to go back. Not because we don't love Eretz Yisrael. Not because we don't want to be with the base of Mikdash and offering korbanos. However, they knew that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed a second time, and it was only a third Beis HaMikdash that would endure forever. And they didn't want to have to go through the pain of another Churban Bayis, so therefore they said, we're going to stay here. But in an effort to show Ezra that they were going to remain firm in their commitment to Judaism, they sent back this paragraph, V'yatziv, V'nachon, V'kayim, V'yashar, and the Neman, the Ahov, and so on and so forth, showing their commitment to Klal Yisrael and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are the different reasons as to, well, the significance of the bracha, but clearly was written somewhere between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. And so I mentioned this idea already about the significance of the Vavs. The Vavs get us to potentially to 100, those 15 Vavs equal 90, the Gematria plus the two Hays get us to 100. There, we mentioned, another one of the commentaries mentions the fact that you have the 15 Vavs and then the Aleph of Emes, which is the first of the 16 phrases or expressions of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which gives you 91, which is also the Gematria of Hashem and two names of God, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the 51 and 26 gets you, I believe that's the right number. 61 and 26 gets you to 25, gets you to 91. The other thing we mentioned a few weeks ago is that in Kriya Shema, there's only 245 letters and we're supposed to get to 248. How do we get to the magic number 248? So we said, oh, you add in Kel Melech Ne'eman. When you add in Kel Melech Ne'eman, that gives you 248. Or if you have the Shliach Tzibur, he repeats, Hashem Elokeichem Emes, that gives you 248. The Sephardim were not the fans of Kel Melech Ne'eman. So when you're davening B'yachidus, the Sephardic approach is to focus on the 15 Vavs. 15 Vavs. How does the 15 Vavs help you get three more words? So you don't exactly get three words, but it's a little more creative, which is, we know that the 15 Vavs equal 90, and God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is 26, plus the four letters is 30, and therefore, God when you mention God's name three times, that's 90, 30, 30, 30, so therefore you sort of get those last three words to give you 248. Maybe it's a little cheesy, but it works. That's the concept the Sephardim say when you're davening B'yachidus and you want to get to 248, based on that medrash, that's what you focus on. Okay, so that is a little bit about who wrote the tefillah, the authorship of the tefillah, and the significance then of the letters within the text. But the question is, that when you look carefully, none of this appears to have any connection to Kriyat Shema or Shmoneh Esrei. There were letters about people in Gullus who were thinking about going to Eretz Yisrael or didn't want to go, or they're accepting upon themselves the Mea Brachos. What does it have to do with Kriyat Shema? Why are we throwing it into the text in this spot between, as the bridge between Shema and Shmoneh Esrei? So here we have a discussion in the Gemara Brachos that gives us a little bit more information, which we can then glean to understand why it's here. So the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Amar Rava Bar Chinina, Saba Mishmei Derav, anyone who doesn't say Emes VeYatziv in the morning and Emes VeEmuna at night, they have not fulfilled their obligation. Lo Yatza Yidei Chava, so you have not fulfilled your obligation. It sounds like you have not fulfilled your obligation of Kriya Shema. That's what it sounds like. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Lahagid baboker chastecha ve'emunascha ba'leilos, that there's a chiyuv for us, there's a requirement to speak of God's kindness in the mornings and emuna in the evenings. Hence, emes v'yatziv focusing on chesed, emes v'emuna at night focusing on our faith. But here you see that emes v'yatziv is really important. What exactly is the significance here? So Rashi says, "Lahagid babuger chastecha." Said the bracha of emes v'yatziv. He said Rashi writes is kula al chesed. It's all about chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with our forefathers, to our forefathers. That he took us out of Mitzrayim, ubaka lahem es hayam kriyas yamsuf ve'aviram ubirchas emes ve'amuna, and then talks about emes, the significance of emes ve'amuna. So when it comes to emes v'yatziv, there's a focus on Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, as well as Kriyas Yamsuf. So now we understand the connection between Shema, Shmona Esrei, and Emes V'Yatziv as this bridge. Because the second half of Shema, the Parshas Tzitzis of Shema, is focusing on Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now we take it to the next level. Not only do we mention Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim again, Mi Mitzrayim Ge'altanu, which again we'll focus a little bit more on the paragraph of Ezra's Avosenu next time, but we have to discuss it now since we're in the topic of understanding the bridge and why it's here. And then we have the Yamsuf Bakata, we have Kriyas Yamsuf as well. And then we finish off Goal Yisrael, the redemption that occurred then. We're also remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem us at a future time. So this, and the Shmona Esrei is essentially when we come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is our moment where we're feeling the highest level of the most intense level of closeness, and certainly asking for redemption would be appropriate. So this is, it helps explain a little the reason why Emes V'Yatziv was placed in between Shema and Shmon Esrei. By the way, the Gemara in Brachos on Chaf Aleph tells us that if a person was not sure whether they recited Emes V'Yatziv, they're required to recite it again. And the Gemara says, why? The Gemara answers, well, Kriya Shema is Dirabanan, and Emes V'Yatziv is De'oraisa. A fascinating idea. The Gemara elaborates a little bit more. But the point is, why is Emes V'Yatziv De'oraisa? Rashi explains, Emes V'Yatziv is De'oraisa because it mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we have an obligation to Mantiskor Etz Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. So clearly, we have a Chiyav D'oraisa for Emes V'Yatziv, even perhaps more than Kriya Shema. Of course, we already use Parshas Tzitzis to fulfill our obligation with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Emes V'Yatziv was very much part of this. What's the word? What's the right word I'm looking for? Part of the structure to mention Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. Okay. But what is, where our focus, as I mentioned, is on the first two paragraphs of Emes V'Yatziv and then Al Rishonim, not on Ezra Savosena, which is essentially the main, what seems to be the main reason the Gemara gives as to why this paragraph or these paragraphs are placed in between Shema and Shmon Esrei. What is the significance of the first two paragraphs? Well, if you look carefully, what you'll see that's unique about it is the focus is on Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. Malkeinu Melech Avosenu, Goalenu Goel Avosenu, Yotzrinu Tzuri Yisho Osenu, Poldenu Umatzilenu Me'olam Shemecha, Ein Avokim Zul Asecha. So here we have, again, this Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, Dvarav Chayim V'Kayamim Ne'emanim V'Nechamanim Lo'adu Lo'ol Me'olamim. The idea here is that the first, so what you see now, that the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim is connected to what? The first paragraph, the first pasuk of Shema, Shema Yisrael, is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. So that's the first two paragraphs here. And then the Parsha of Tzitzis is connected to Ezra Avosenu, which focuses on Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Ol Mitzvos, perhaps, and as well as, although technically Ol Mitzvos is also on V'Hayim Shemoah. So the last paragraph of Ezra's gives us, corresponds to V'Haya, as well as the Parsha of Tzitzis mentioning Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you have this structure now where Emes V'Yatziv is almost like a miniature version of the Shema, or an identical version of the Shema to a certain degree. But now we see that there clearly is this bridge, and it's an important bridge. We understand when it was written and how it came to be part or placed in between Shema and Shmona Esrei. But because it's so clearly connected to Shema, as a result, there are certain halachos that correspond to this bridge, which, and we discussed this already a week ago, or maybe even 2 weeks ago, which is that the word emes is from the paragraph of Emes v'Yatziv. Emes is not part of Parshas Tzitzis. In Parshas Shlach, it ends off, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Emes v'Yatziv is part of the next paragraph, but yet we throw Emes into Shema and not into V'yatziv. So you take a look at the Siddur, right? And the Siddur just starts off with V'yatziv, not Emes V'yatziv. Why not? So the Gemara in Brachos, again, another Gemara in Brachos, tells us that we don't make a hefzik. Rabbi Huda says that we don't make a hefzik between Vayomer and Emes. You can't make a hefzik. So the question is, what type of hefzik are we talking about? Is this hefzik even more strict than in the middle of Kriyat Shema? Because in the middle of Kriyat Shema, you can be Shoel Mipnei Hayira. If you're afraid of someone, technically speaking, before, obviously halacha changed now, but if there is a reason to be afraid of someone, you can be Shoel. You can greet them if out of fear, and Meishif Mipnei HaKavod, you could respond to someone due to their honor. Are we going to say that you can make it's even more strict between Vayomer and Emes, more so than in the middle of Kriyat Shema? The Rambam says, no, of course not. It's just the same. So when Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot make a hefzik between Vayomer and Emes, it means you cannot make a hefzik like Bein HaPrakim, but you can make it the hefzik like the Emza HaPerek. However, many of the other Rishonim argue, and they say no, that actually between Vayomer and Emes, you cannot make any hefzik whatsoever. And therefore, we have in our Siddur, essentially, Emes as part of Shema, because that's how Shulchan Aruch paskens. We don't make a hefzik. Any hefzik at all is prohibited. Not like the Rambam, we do not make any hefzik between Vayomer and Emes. We look in Simin Samach Vav, Sif Hei, that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, and that's why we answer Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Even when we're davening B'yachidus, we know that 245th word is Elokeichem. When we say Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, we've just said 246 words. But we have to recite the Emes after Elokeichem because we cannot make a hefzik. But we don't count that last Emes to our 248. We wait for the Chazan who says Hashem Elokeichem Emes to give us our 248. Okay, so that is a little background to these paragraphs of Emes V'yatziv. So let's take a look at the text. Let's see how we do over here. So it begins, well, the first thing to note, I mentioned the 15 vavs. The first word before the 15 vavs is emes, which essentially means that there are 16 phrases or expressions of our descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you look carefully, Rabbi Schwab points this out, it appears that these 16 expressions are groups. They're grouped into two. It's emes v'yatziv, v'nachon v'kayam, V'yashar v'ne'eman, v'ahu v'chaviv, v'nechmad v'na'im, v'nora v'adir, u'mistukan u'mikubal, v'tov v'yafeh. So you can, Rabbi Schwab tries to articulate what makes them pairs, how you compare and contrast them, but we're going to skip that for now. We're just going to go through the translation here. V'yatziv, v'nachon, so emes, God is truth. V'yatziv, firmly grounded. They do make a note of the fact that V'yatziv seems to be a little more of an Aramaic word, although it's connected to Nitzavim, but sounds a little more Aramaic. V'nachon, V'kayam, ordered, established, V'yashar, he's right, V'ne'eman, permanent, V'ahuv, V'chaviv, lovely and precious, Nechmad, V'noyim, pleasant and sweet, Nora, V'adir, solemn and revered, U'mesukan, U'mekubal, accepted, as well as good and beautiful. So he says, "Musukan mukubal." The translation here says, "Musukan mukubal" means accepted. "Musukan mukubal" means "Musukan" is bli pigam. There's no blemish in that individual. "Mukubal b'leiv shalem" is accepted, received with a full heart. "V'tov v'yafe." He's as good and beautiful. What is good and beautiful? God is good and God is beautiful. What exactly does that mean? No, v'tov v'yafe hadavar hazeh aleinu li'olam v'ed. That what is tov v'yafe? What is good and beautiful? It's hadavar hazeh. This matter aleinu on us la'olam v'ed forever. What exactly is this davar hazeh? What are we talking about? That this davar hazeh is beautiful. So that is a dispute in terms of how to understand the text, because we end off the paragraph of Shema, of Parsha Tzitzis, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, God is truth. And now we're saying, V'yatzi V'nachon V'kayim V'yashar V'nema V'hov. So it sounds like we're making all these expressions of, we're saying all these expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu based off of Kriya Shema, that God is truth, and all these things, all HaDavar HaZeh, all applies backwards. It all applies back to Hashem Elokeichem Emes. That's one way to read it. But there's another way to read it. It doesn't change the text terribly, but just again, different perspective when you're davening to understand what you're trying to say, how it's connected, which is that Hadavar Hazeh Aleinu Li'olam Vo'ed, what is this matter? It's the following line, which is Emes Elokei Olam Malkeinu. The truth is, the God is truth, and He's Elokei Olam. He's our King, and He's the King of the world, God of the world. That is the Davar Hazeh Aleinu Li'olam Vo'ed. So there are two ways to understand Hadavar Hazeh. Is Hadavar Hazeh going back on Shema, or is it going forward to the next line? And that really depends, right? We see that the truth is, the answer is both in a certain sense, because Emes is a bridge to Shema. So therefore, all these phrases, all these expressions are connected back to Shema. But at the same time, there's also another aspect of Hadavar Hazeh, which is we're furthering the conversation, not just Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, not just Mitzrayim Galtano, but also we're going to be focusing on Goal Yisrael, on the redemption, future redemption. So there's this bridge can serve both sides, both the end of Shema as well as getting us towards the Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so then we continue. Emes Elokei Olam. So we said God, the truth is that God is Elokei Olam. He is the God of the world, Malkeinu. He is our God. But again, there's there's a proclamation that God rules the world. It's not just our God. We accept God, Malkeinu, as our king. But God is the ruler of the world. And this is, again, Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemaim. Right here is what we're doing, just as we did in the first paragraph of Shema Yisrael, Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemaim. Again here, we're being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemaim. Then we have an interesting phrase, Tzur Yaakov Magen Yishenu. It appears to me that Tzur Yaakov in this paragraph, as well as Tzur Yisrael at the end of the paragraph, might only be the only times we have this combination, Tzur Yaakov and Tzur Yisrael, but it's essentially the same thing. Tzur Yaakov, he is the rock of Jacob, meaning the patriarch, the forerunner of Klal Yisrael, essentially, the Shiftei Ka. Magen Yishenu, God is our shield. He protects us. Lador Vador Hu Kayam, that Ushmo Kayam, the Chison Nachon, that for generation and generations he endures. His throne is Nachon, it's established. His sovereignty and faithfulness endure forever. Again, Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemaim is exactly what we're doing here. So to elaborating perhaps a little bit more than what we said during the Shema. Udvarav Chaim, his words are living. Right? It's like a Torah's Chaim. God's words are alive. They aren't not just something that we're dusting off or we're reading as a history book. No, it's life. It's our lifeblood. Udvarav Chaim v'kayamim. They're living, they're chiyus, v'kayamim, and they give us strength. Ne'emanim v'nechamadim. They are established, they're precious, lo'ad, forever, ul'olmei olamim, and for generations to follow. And that is where our custom from the shlar, from the Arizal, to after la'ad, we kiss the tzitzis, and then we drop them. But again, the idea here is it's the end of Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemaim, la'ad ul'olmei olamim. So once we finish being the Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemaim, we kiss the tzitzis. Again, you see, again, that bridge, how the tzitzis, before the Kerev Tanu, L'Shimcha Agadah Me'arvakan V'Sa'aretz, we take the tzitzis, And then as we get to Shema and go through the paragraphs all the way to the end of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim, a second time, essentially, then we release the tzitzis from our grasp. And then we say, who is this Davar Hazeh, this Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim? Who is it given to? Who is it incumbent upon? It's Alav Oseinu Ve'Aleinu. It's on our forefathers and on us. Al Baneinu Ve'Doraseinu, on our children and all the generations that follow. Ve'al Kol Doros Zera Yisrael Avadecha, and all the generations of Zera Yisrael. This is, again, this Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim is something that we are making because we stand on the shoulders of giants, and we are going to pass that message down from generation to generation. It will endure forever. So that is paragraph number one. And then we continue with the second paragraph, again, furthering the sense of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim, Al Rishonim, V'Al Hachronim, Davar Tov, V'Kayom, Le'olam Voed. As it pertains to the early generations and the later generations, these words are Davar Tov, V'Kayom. These are good words. He says here in the translation, these words are a doctrine that is good and enduring forever. They last. Emes V'Emuna, Chok V'Lo Yavor. This is Emes V'Emuna. It's Ne'eman V'Yiskayim, Chok V'Lo Yavor. It's not going to change. This idea of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim, our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is never going to change. These are very strong words. We kind of run through it, especially in the morning. If you're in an earlier minyan, you're tired, you have to get to the train. Very powerful statements we're making in our Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim. We spend so much time, we spend more time focusing on Shema, covering our eyes and connecting. But when you read the Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim of Emes V'Yatziv, it's much more powerful, and the language is more flowery and more expressive. Perhaps even, you could argue, a little more meaningful, because it's so descriptive. Emes Shoatahu Hashem Elokeinu Ve'Elokei Avoseinu. It's true that you are Hashem, our God, and the God of our fathers. Malkeinu, our King. Melech Avoseinu, the King of our forefathers. Goalenu, our Redeemer. Goel Avoseinu, the Redeemer of our forefathers. Yotzreinu, our Creator. Tzur Yeshuaseinu, the Rock that had of our salvation. Podenu, our Redeemer. Umatzilenu Me'olam Shemecha, and the one who saved us from our enemies, from eternity, from time eternal, from that forever. Ein Elohim, Ein Elohim Zulasecha, there is no other God besides you. Strong and powerful words. After we come off the heels of Kriya Shema, where we Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, and then in V'Haya, where Mekabel O Mitzvos, and in the Parsha of Tzitzis, where we not only focus on the mitzvah of Tzitzis and other mitzvos as a continuation of Kabbalas O Mitzvos, but we mention Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, we come back again, and we're re-Mekabel, essentially, O Malchus Shemayim, in much more flowery language and more descriptive language, which is really powerful for all of us to consider every morning, something that we don't meditate on enough, and something perhaps when you reread it and you go through it slowly, gives you a greater appreciation, gives me a greater appreciation for what we're doing, and hopefully enhance our tefillah. Have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you next time.